All right, we're back on the record, and Ms. Smith, do you have anything further?
Yes, we're going to call back up Mr. Gunther to answer a few questions, and so come on up, Steve. And while he's coming up here, you'd asked for a citation, Commissioner Fedorchuk. It is the Department of Health Division of Water Quality. That's the source of it, but it was called the North Dakota Source Water Assessment Program Strategy Plan.
It's not in the application.
I forgot that we identified this afterwards, so it wasn't in the application. I do have the bore depths, though, for the irrigation ditches, and that's on page 16 of the application.
How can we get that Department of Health Division Water Quality, the citation that you referenced for the to back up the facts that it is not a municipal water supply, how can we get that into the record?
We can, I mean, Steve can, Steve knows it, or Bo knows it. I mean, I can ask Bo the question if you want him to state it in his testimony so that it's part of the record.
Is it a listing, or what is it of, I guess I'd like to see it. If we could just get the paper copy or something, wherever you found that citation where it listed this stretch of the Yellowstone River as not being a municipal water source, could we get that documentation in the record?
I think, is that possible? So you're saying that would be, you want it as a late filed exhibit?
Sure, yeah, a late filed would be fine.
Okay, I think that's
all right. Workable.
Okay. And what page was the board depths? I'm sorry.
Oh, 16.
Of
the application, so.
But just from the beginning?
Yeah, just from the beginning.
Not in one of the appendix.
It is in section 11.2 towards the end.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
You can go ahead with your questioning.
Okay. So, Mr. Gunther, there is a question about the rail capacity and the direction of the BNSF rail cars. So starting with the rail capacity, can you provide an update on per unit train?
I believe per unit train it's 100,000 barrels.
And where does the BNSF railway travel?
So from the facility at East Fairview, it travels north and then can split and go east and west as far west as California, and the first few deliveries from North Star have made it to Philadelphia.
There's a request for a worst case calculation at the Yellowstone River crossing between the two valves. Do you have that calculation?
Yes, the total volume between the two valves would be about 2,100 barrels.
There's a question about removal of trees from Commissioner Christman. As far as aerial surveys, are any trees going to be removed at the HDD locations to facilitate aerial surveys beyond what would be removed just within the regular right-of-way?
No, they will not.
I'm just going down here, make sure. There was a statement that you had made during your testimony about reroutes, and I just want to make sure that it's clear. It is the intent, as long as the landowners, assuming we can get the landowners sign off because the road authorities want it, that roads are going to be changed to be 90-degree crossings if they are not currently. Is that right?
That is correct.
And there is likely to be at least those reroutes, and there's always the potential, because you're still in discussions with landowners, for additional requests. Is that right?
Yes, there is a potential.
I think the last one addresses Mr. Fahn's request. Is the company willing to 1 year from the date of operation, so a year past operation, provide an update to the commission of information that has been received during the restoration process from landowners or from NST Express or Buckeye's own observations of issues during or trouble spots during restoration?
Yes, Buckeye would not have a problem providing that to the commission.
And to Commissioner Kalk's request, will the commission will NST Express provide an update regarding easement status prior to the working session?
Yes, we can. 500 foot.
Ah, thank you.
No problem.
I thought I had to ask the questions. So there was one home that Commissioner Crispin pointed out on page 9 of exhibit 2 that he was asking about the distance. What did you identify as far as the distance?
We double-checked with the surveyor. It's 497 feet, so we will go back and get a waiver from that landowner.
And we will file that as a late-filed exhibit.
He thought it might be 496.
We were rounding up.
I believe that's all the questions that we have.
All right. Mr. Pelham?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Fawn?
No questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Crispin?
I think Ms. Smith asked the question a little differently than maybe I was meaning on the trees along the Yellowstone. Do you clear cut above the permanent easement? Is there like going to be a 50-foot clear cut there so that you can monitor the pipeline from, or some other width? So you can monitor the pipeline from the air?
So we'll do our aerial patrols, and discussing with Bo and others, we feel that there's not a heavy tree coverage in that area. It's very light. So we prefer not to cut those trees down at the riverbank, and we can still feel that we can get a good aerial shot of the pipeline right away in that area.
Okay. And oh. Do the landowners have options if they want a different grass seed mix than your standard seed mix?
I think we'll do the best to work with the landowners on the appropriate mix if they request something different. I don't see an issue with that.
Okay. No other questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk?
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for coming back up here. Commissioner Crispin had the catch on the 500-foot from the house. What was that distance you said?
I believe it's 497 feet we got.
Now, is that the same landowner that has signed the easement or hasn't signed the easement for the pipeline across their property?
I believe they have signed the easement.
So there shouldn't be any problem with that?
We don't anticipate a problem.
And if there is a problem, could you just reroute the pipeline 10 feet to the south?
We discuss it, yes.
So that would be your plan, right? So you no way of going outside the corridor if they don't sign the easement?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Smith, anything further?
Just one follow-up to your line of questioning, Commissioner Kalk. If you did stay, or if you did move 10 feet, it wouldn't affect the easement that's already been signed. Is that right?
That is correct.
No further questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gunther.
Thank you.
Anything else, Ms. Smith?
The only thing I have is that I do have a motion to amend the application. I have talked with Mr. Pelham, and the thought was to go ahead and just file that so it's in the docket after the hearing. And so we'll go ahead and do that. That's the only thing that I have, Your Honor.
Okay. And we did address this up front, but just in case anything's changed, are there any members of the public who would like to come forward and offer any public testimony at this time? Okay. Sir, can I get your name and address, please?
David J. Mach, M-A-C-H, Willow River, Minnesota.
And Mr. Mach, before you testify, I'm required to give you an oath, advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. It's a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. And being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes.
Okay, you can go ahead with your testimony.
My name is David J. Mach, and I'm a representative of United Piping out of Minot, North Dakota, and Duluth, Minnesota. I'm here today to represent the 450 people that are currently employed with United Piping. I have a little different turn or
aspect on this job. I was a resident of North Dakota from 1992 to 2005. I farmed in a little town of Lignite, North Dakota. I have seen bad pipelines put in the ground, the results of bad pipelines. In my current position, I take a lot of opportunities to walk a lot of different right-of-ways around the country. Recently, I had an opportunity to walk one of Buckeye's pipelines down in the southern part of the country. I was very impressed with what Buckeye is doing as far as maintenance and construction. Today, we've heard numerous times that Buckeye has changed their, or NTS has changed their, right-of-way proposals because the farmers wanted something different. We don't often see that anymore. A lot of these big companies come in and just, they want to go from point A to point B as fast as they can, and they're not interested in what the public, the general public has to say. So today, I just wanted to say that myself and the 450 employees of UPI are in favor of this project. And since now the public of, or the residents of North Dakota wanted to attend today, I figured I would like to say something. That's all I have.
Okay. Ms. Smith, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
Thank you. Thanks for testifying, Mr. Mock. I just have one question for you, I think. As far as UPI's interest in the project, I'm just wondering, sir, has UPI been in discussions with Buckeye to do work for this project?
No, we have not. We are generally in favor of all pipeline projects that are constructed in a safe manner. My mom raised me to, you see me at a lot of these events. You always see me, and I don't often say a lot of things because I was taught, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. So, like I said, I had the opportunity to, with Mr. Gunther, walk one of their pipelines. It was, half of it was cropland, the other half, in North Dakota, we'd call it a coulee. The crop that was raised on that property, I could not tell the difference. It had been there long enough where it had all come back into play. When I did live here, I farmed small grain crops for that 10, 12 years. So I do know what, you know, pipelines can do to a farmland and the effects and what to look for. What I saw there was a company that actually, I want to say cared about what they were doing, but they put it back the right way. And that's what we like to see up here.
Sure. And I appreciate your testimony on that and that background. I think that's helpful. But I'm just trying to understand what United Piping's interest is on this pipeline project.
Like I said, we support pipeline construction that's done safely. I actually have a unique job with UPI. I look at all the pipeline work going around the country, whether it's here, Minnesota. And the gentleman I work for would like to support all these projects if they're done in a safe manner, but he can't be everywhere at one time. So it's not that per se we're doing anything for Buckeye on this particular project, but we're still in support of it.
Thank you.
Mr. Fawn, any questions?
No questions, thanks.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any questions. Thanks for being here and speaking up.
Commissioner Christman?
Just generally, regarding the success of the pipeline long-term with being safe and operating properly, how much of that would you say rests on the materials they use, and how much of that rests on the work of the construction project?
Oh, I would like to say that in my judgment, or my, I'd like to say that maintenance, a good maintenance program is really what shows how long a pipeline can last. The materials are important, but the maintenance. PHMSA requires that you do X, Y, and Z, and I've seen companies that they stay ahead of what PHMSA requires. Instead of 5 years, they're at 2.5 years because nobody wants a breach. You know, they want to. It's cheaper to maintain it than it is to clean it up.
Interesting answer. Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk?
No, thank you for your testimony, David.
Thank you, Mr. Mock.
Thank you.
Any other public testimony? Okay, it doesn't look like it. Ms. Smith, did you have a closing or anything else we should address before the commissioner's comments?
I think the only thing is that we do plan to file proposed findings of fact, conclusions, law, and order. We will file that at the same time as we file the late-filed exhibits. Would you mind if we went over the late-filed again just to make sure that
Yeah, please do. Just make sure everybody's on the same page.
So I have the corrected schematic, so I suppose that would be 11. Is that what you have?
That's what I have.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other was the Department of Health plan. Do you have that as 12 in your list?
I do.
And the waiver is 13?
Yep.
And is that it?
That's all I have. That's, Mr. Pelham, do you have anything in addition?
That's everything I have as well.
Okay.
Can I just clarify on the Department of Health?
Absolutely.
I don't know if that document is 400 pages. Or
I don't know either.
What I'm looking for is just the list, wherever it is, or the table that shows that the Yellowstone River in this stretch is not a municipal water source. We don't need the entire document added to the record and copies of it.
Sure. That's great. Okay.
What was the schematic of again?
There's two of them Appendix D, C. D, C.
C.
There's two of them that were incorrect.
Okay.
They had the incorrect depths, and we were going to correct those schematics, so they're correct in the system.
Okay. Mr. Pelham, was there anything additional that you felt should be addressed?
No, sir. I think the company in consultation appreciate the Ms. Smith's professionalism in answering a lot of the questions beforehand, and I think that streamlined the process today. So. Nothing further.
Miss, do you have a closing statement you'd like to make at all? Okay.
No, other than please grant the permit. No. No, we really don't have anything prepared other than, yes, we would respectfully ask that the commission grant both the waiver and the certificate of order compatibility and the route permit for this project.
Okay, thank you. And before we close the hearing, we'll hear closing remarks from the commissioners. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, thank you, everyone, for a good, thorough hearing, good thorough discussion of all the key issues, the reclamation, safety, construction, easements. We covered a lot of different things, even the interaction with the local folks, and look forward to you guys getting that all taken care of on the local end of things. I really appreciate the discussion about the river crossing and the information provided on that. I think that, the Corps will come out with their permit, and that looks like it's a pretty solid approach, and I don't have any big concerns. Appreciate you getting back with the total volume that could be lost under the Yellowstone, 2,100 barrels. I think that's important to bring out because people hear 100,000 barrels per day maximum capacity and assume that that would be the amount that could come under in the case of a leak. And so that's why I always try to bring that to light that, you know, in worst case scenario, what are we looking at? So people have the facts in that regard. I think the fact that there weren't any landowners here is indicative of, or is a result of, the company's work to make the changes to the routes as at their requests. And I really appreciate that. They seemed like really smart changes to begin with, just following section lines and not cutting across fields. That goes a long way to decreasing the fatigue that landowners are feeling in this area with pipeline development and bringing them on in support. And we all need that in this part of the state. And I really appreciate the company's extra efforts to accommodate those changes and to continue working closely with the landowners throughout the construction process and reclamation process to make sure everything is done as well as it has been so far. So thank you very much. I look forward to, you know, getting the last information on this project and getting you all a decision as soon as we can.
Commissioner Christman?
Well, I too want to commend the company for the alterations to accommodate the wishes of the landowners. I just think that's a really important factor in maintaining good relationships and continuing this industry moving forward. So I appreciate that. Really about the only other thing, and it shouldn't be a new revelation, but I just really specifically noticed it sitting here today. At a time when much of the world is beating up on the United States and specifically this fossil fuel area of Wyoming and Montana and Western North Dakota, it's not lost on me that right here in the heart of it, Commissioner Fedorchak still gets up and opens the door when we need some fresh air, while most of the rest of the world that's beating us up all runs inside to get out of the outside air. And so I just thought it was interesting that it's one of the few places where we still open the doors for fresh air. No other comments.
Commissioner Kolk?
Just a quick follow-up on that legal. The motion that Molly talked about, we didn't clarify that. Do we have to vote anything today? Or what? I don't understand what motion.
No, you don't need to vote today on that, Judge. Or I'm used to being in court. Commissioner, you don't have to vote on that today. It will be submitted, and it's something that will be considered at a later time. But because the application was submitted in such a way as it didn't include initially these reroutes, the company came to me initially and indicated that we have these reroutes, how would you like us to handle it? And this was the recommended course of action. And this motion essentially just allows for that process to be done. We will consider it a later time, though.
So you say motion, though. I don't understand.
What is the process?
It's a motion for an amendment. The process for route alterations after the permit has been granted are very clear. However, the process for alterations prior to a hearing and after an application has been filed and submitted and after a notice of hearing has been sent are less than clear. And this is the manner in which we have decided to do it. We required and asked, not required, but we asked the company and they complied to provide documentation that all of the route changes on specific landowners' property was agreed to by the landowners, and that was Exhibit 4. So all of those documents show that those landowners have agreed to that. And our concern was, as well, members of the public who may not be aware of a reroute, if they're not signed on, that they wouldn't know about it and maybe wouldn't appear at this hearing. So that those 9 reroutes that were proposed, we have all 9 of these individuals who signed off on it. They're aware of it, and we have documentation that's been part of the record as an exhibit. So the motion is perhaps maybe a bit redundancy, maybe a bit overkill, but at the same time, it's my preference to proceed in that manner, just so that we have everything on the record, so that everything was procedurally done properly in this matter.
Perfect. I just thank you for that. Just one thing.
Before you do your,
it's going to be a good closing comments, boy.
I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to ruin it.
I got notes and everything.
Step on it. Okay. We will vote on this motion at the next meeting. Is that the process that we're looking at, or is it part of the order? I guess I still want to know. And then do we not need to do any public notice of these changes?
The public notice portion of it, Commissioner, this project and this pipeline was noticed and was properly done as filed. In the interim, though, however, the company indicated, look, I mean, from the company's perspective, do they do it now? Do they do it after the permit is? And they came to us and said, hey, we have these reroutes here. What do you want us to do with them? So rather than postponing the hearing on issues that can be resolved and talked about at this hearing, and where landowners who would otherwise be required to receive notice. They have notice because they've signed off on it. They know what the routes are. So our concern with that is not founded. So we're okay with proceeding. As far as voting on the motion at the next commission hearing, that can certainly be done, and it can also be incorporated into any final order on this matter as to what was specifically done.
Okay, we can talk about that. Thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Kolk? Yeah, just that if there's one thing that I think I passed my 100th hearing here a while back, and it's just indicative of when I happened to be in the commission, but the one thing I really learned is this is when the record is closed. We better have a good, tight record because we're pro-growth here, but by the same token, there's folks out there that aren't, and they start sniping at you for procedures, so it's really important that we got a good, tight record. On that, this hearing went really well, Molly. I appreciate your work on that. I appreciate the good back and forth. The exhibits you prepared were very good, and I don't think I have any concerns about this particular project. But talking back to the number of hearings have been involved in, one thing you see in industry, you see trends. And the one thing I see with trends in pipeline siting is we really got to make sure we keep the counties involved, because the counties do hold most of the cards when it comes to this stuff. And so that's one of the things I'm really picking up as I get around the different counties working through the Association of Counties, that if we want to stop pipeline development and wind farm development and natural gas development, we get in the wrong side of the counties. So appreciate any work you can all do with getting those processes taken care of, because at the end of the day, we make the decisions. We make better decisions with better involvement of local officials and better information. So that's why I was harping on that a little bit. But thank you for your good work. Really appreciate it. And I agree with my colleagues. We'll make a decision pretty quick.
Okay. Before we close, go ahead, Mr. Pelham.
Thank you, Judge. Just so we're clear on the record, this motion, I believe, and with the agreement by Ms. Smith, will be part of this record. You agree with that?
Yes, and I was just to confirm on the procedure. So the rules provide that you can make an amendment at the hearing, and then it's treated as an amendment to the application. The application amendments say that you have to notify other parties and allow them the opportunity to review. We're the only party. So right. It's very much similar to the post-hearing filing process that right. I'm, as far as I'm concerned. So yes, absolutely, it'll be part of the record.
Okay. Great, thank you.
My question was that the motion implies that the three of us vote on something today. What if the three of us voted against this motion? We should, I mean, that's why, as long as you guys are buttoned up procedurally on that, I think we're in agreement. Otherwise, we'd have said so, but I just wanted to ask that.
Well, in the motion, Commissioner, just so you're clear, the motion essentially speaks as to the 9 reroutes.
Understood.
That we've talked about today, and the company has specifically testified. So that's all the motion entails.
That's clear.
Should we talk about it some more?
You don't have anything further, Ms. Smith?
Nothing
okay. That will conclude the public hearing on this matter. Thank you, everybody.